Welcome to the Marriage Adventure Podcast, where the journey is the destination. It's the highs, the lows, and everything in between. Well, what's up, guys? We are in week six of the quarantine.
Yep, just starting, kicking off week six. Well, yeah, week six for us.
Yep. It's been a crazy, crazy time. We hope you guys are doing well. I know you're probably inundated with content, with stuff, tips to do during the quarantine, things to do. You've probably binged watched every show you ever thought that you would. That'd be interesting to see what everybody's binge watching.
Yeah, because we're always looking for a good binge watch.
It seems like the Tiger King was like months ago.
Oh, I know.
But literally, it was like 2-3 weeks ago.
Wow. Yeah, time is moving really. It's the whole thing. You said it the other day. It's kind of like what people say when you have toddlers. It's like the days are long and the years are short. It's like right now our days are long, but I look back, we've already been in this for 5 weeks.
I know, it's crazy. It's crazy. So something we did during the quarantine, a little bit of loss of mind.
Something that I have been saying for the last 3 years, No, we will not do. I'm not ready.
You were dead set against it.
Dead set against it. But one day, I guess, being inside and I had a moment of insanity and you jumped on that moment immediately and we got a dog.
I've been waiting for that moment of insanity for 2 years. See, here's the deal. If you have kids, you may have gone down the same road. Our kids have been begging for a dog for years, and they have not been ready for a dog.
No,
I promise you.
Well, they're still a lot of work. They were a lot of work, and I was waiting for them to get old enough that they weren't as so much work, and that they could help take care of a dog. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, well, we were supposed to take this big trip this summer, and we're not going to get to take it now. We're not happy about that, but you know, it's okay. And so I thought, it's a great time. We're stuck in the house. When better to let the kids take responsibility and learn how to take care of a dog than when we're quarantined at home?
And you hit about 5 seconds of that mindset before we found the dog and made a commitment to go get it. It was so funny.
Yeah.
So Bonnie has played, like the kids have probably thought you hate dogs and hate animals. But it's quite the opposite.
Well, I mean,
Bonnie grew up with dogs. We used to have a dog. She loves dogs.
I just know that when they're at school and you're at work, I will have the majority of the responsibility. And after the newness wears off, that it will fall on me. And guess
you're right. And that's why I've left it kind of to you. Yeah. But behind closed doors, kids didn't know this, I was really, really pulling for us to get a dog. Because I think our kids need to grow up with a dog.
So,
but the funny thing is, it's not the kid's dog. It's not my dog. Who is the lover of this animal?
I'll admit it. He's my dog.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, okay.
You guys should see Bonnie with this
dog. This dog is adorable. When we got him at, he was 10 weeks old. We've had him 2 weeks now. 10-week-old teddy bear Zushan, which is a mix between a Shih Tzu and a Bichon Frise.
And dude, it was the funniest thing. It was literally like a drug deal. Like, we called the guy. We met him in the parking lot of Tractor Supply. It reminded me of all the drug deals we used to do back in the day.
Yeah, like we've
and
done.
So he pulls up. He does. I mean, he rolls down his window. He's got a mask on
and
gloves on. Mm-hmm. He holds the dog out the window. I don't even know if he came to the full stop. And we did the deal there. I thought there was going to be a sting of police.
Of course, I wiped him down with wipes before I would even let us pet him. But
it was funny.
It's the world we're living in. So we have a dog. That's been what we've done over the last couple of weeks, is getting used to having a dog.
And it's been a lot of fun.
It has been. And man, life is just different for everybody right now. And if you're alive right now, you know that it's just different. And you're forced to be with your family.
If you're not alive, you don't know.
Stop. You may be. We're forced.
You're dead. You have no idea.
We're quarantined. That pretty much means we're forced to spend all of our time at home with just our family. And you better like your spouse and you better like your kids because, I mean, we're here. And so, we're forced to connect or not, or just go to our separate corners. And I'll say this, quarantine is kind of bringing out the best and the worst in people. And it, And that kind of flip-flops between day and day. It's like one day I'm like, okay, what can we do? I'm on target. And then the next day I'm like, oh, I just want to stay in my PJs.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough.
Yeah, we came out of the gate, I think, really well.
Yeah.
Okay, we need to keep our routine. Yep. We need to get up. We need to brush our teeth. We need to take showers. We need to get dressed. And I think 95% we have done that.
Mm-hmm.
We got to work out. We have been working out. We've kind of made ourselves keep that routine, and having kids has helped with that, you know. But yesterday, dude, we hit a wall.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, I'm just tired of these kids. And then it was amazing. It was like the Holy Spirit showed up and the kids said, hey, we're going to do a in our fort for 24 hours challenge. So, yeah. I mean, literally, we were done.
Yeah.
And then they come up with this building a fort in Colby's bedroom, and they're going to stay in there for all day.
They said 24 hours. We're like, well, until school starts in the morning.
So it was about 18 or so. And yeah. We're like, Yes, that's great. I think that's a wonderful challenge.
I bet you can't do it.
Yeah, and so we had basically the whole day to ourselves. So we binge-watched Friends, we played dominoes, we ordered pizza.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of fun.
It was good.
It's much needed. Thanks, Holy Spirit.
We needed that connection. And I think during this time, we're in the house with people, and you may or may not be connecting. I know we're together, but that doesn't necessarily mean we're connecting. So The question comes up, how do you connect with each other during quarantine? And you might have children at home with you 24/7. And like us, you're like, I just need them to quarantine themselves to one room so we can have some time. Or maybe you don't have kids, but you're like, I've been staring at the same person just for 5 weeks straight. And I don't, you know, we're not connecting anymore because we're just tired of looking at each other. So that's what we're talking about today. How do you connect with each other during quarantine?
All right. This is a special quarantine edition of Lightning Round. You have 1 minute to name all your favorite things we've done during quarantine. Josie, we're starting with you. Ready, set, go.
Get a puppy. That is birthday cake.
Going hiking.
Building, doing the fence in the backyard, DIY project I've needed to get done for a long time.
Art projects. Watching American Ninja Warrior and playing American Ninja Warrior.
Eating more desserts than normal.
Yes.
Binge watching a whole season of Survivor in like 3 days.
Going outside. Doing fun things with Jesse.
Reading a book aloud during your reading times.
We went camping over my birthday, and that was awesome.
Yep.
Playing with the puppy. Sleepover with Josie last night.
Kayaking on our camping trip.
You guys giving us a whole date day because you did a in the room challenge sleepover. That was awesome for us.
Swimming. Kayaking.
I said that one already. Shaving Colby's head because we couldn't get a haircut.
Yes, quarantine haircut.
Quarantine cut.
Oh, yes, it's my turn.
Time.
Oh, I got out of it.
What was you going to say? What were you going to say?
Stay tuned till next week.
Well, today we're talking about connecting with each other through the quarantine. At some point, we're going to come out of this. I mean, our country is going to come out of this. The world's going to come out of this quarantine. And we're either going to emerge from this craziness, like, either better in our marriages or worse. And so how do we connect with each other? And I think we talked about there are three different levels we have to connect with each other if we're going to come out of this thing better.
Yeah, there's three baseline areas that I think we have to work on those connections. And at the end of the day, there's basic things that if you do these things consistently, you'll be fine and you'll come through this. And I'm reading, and you'll probably hear about this again. I'm reading the Man's Search for Meaning book, and it was written by a guy who endured the prison camps.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think.
Holocaust.
The Holocaust. The prison camps and the Holocaust. And man, he is talking about how in the midst of such suffering, and of course, listen, guys, we can't compare having to sit at home and order pizza and binge watch TV to what the people went through there in those camps. But he talks about how even in the midst of horrific circumstances like that, that that man can find meaning and that we have a choice. And at the end of the day, no matter what your circumstances are, we have the ability to still choose in our mental capacity and what, you know, the way we think and feel. And so that's what we need to talk about today, is how do we connect on these three levels, regardless of your situation, regardless of how tired you are of looking at these people, or regardless, maybe you were somebody that lost your job, or maybe that you're somebody who you're really struggling, and we are, people are handling this, everyone's handling this differently. So the first area of communication or connection that we still need to maintain with our spouse is, number one, that emotional connection.
Yeah, I mean, and I think right now our emotions are probably all over the place. It's one day I'm up, one day I'm down. I know that you'll look at me and you'll say, "You okay?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm okay." Or I just need a minute. Or no, I'm not okay. I'm just, you know, and it's hard sometimes to give yourself permission to not be okay. Mm-hmm. And I need you sometimes to look at me and say, "Are you okay? It's okay if you're not okay." Mm-hmm. And you've been really good about doing that. And so because our emotions are probably changing daily, it's really important that we're checking in with our spouse, not just at the end of a week, but every day. Say, "How are you doing today? I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, are you feeling okay today? Or where are you?" Just keeping a looking at the gauges.
Yeah. One of our staff members said, he's kind of like an elevator. You know, one day he's up and he's fine. Mm-hmm. And then the next day he's on floor number one. He's not. And I think we're probably all like that. One day we think, "Oh man, I'm good. I got a handle on this." Because we get out of our norms and we get out of our normals and even the way we're supposed to feel about things. And then we have assumptions. We have assumptions of how our spouse normally responds to things and reacts to things.
Yeah.
And that's not the way it's going to happen during this quarantine. And so we've got to have some grace. And I think we have to go into it with an understanding. We're all going to be a mess.
Yeah.
And it's going to differ from day to day how you're feeling.
Well, and
how I'm feeling.
Like you said, just assuming I know how you're going to respond. I know you went through some stuff a few years back and the conditions were, you weren't able to go out to lunch with people much. You weren't able to spend at the church. We were on a spending freeze and
invest in people.
Yeah, invest in people. And so that was one of the conditions that was right for you to kind of go in a hole. And so I know you only have FaceTime with people over Zoom right now, and you can't go out and have that face to face. So that I keep watching. I'm like, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" Mm-hmm. And you're like, "No, seriously, I've got purpose. I'm good." And so I'm expecting you to respond a certain way during this, and thankfully you're not. So we can't take it for granted how our spouse is going to respond.
How have you, as an introvert, how have you been handling this? Because most people think, "Oh, introverts are loving this," but from an introvert's perspective.
Well, I think one, introverts realize we do at some point need people. And it's not the get out and life of a party, but I've missed connection individually with people that I normally would have FaceTime with during my Bible study, or people that I'm investing in, and I haven't had that FaceTime. But my world's probably been the most disrupted around here because as an introvert, it's been pretty great for me to have 6 hours a day that you're at work and the kids are at school on a normal basis, and that doesn't exist anymore. So my headspace of having that alone time to be able to process through the day and just be able to do menial tasks with no noise is gone. And so I have struggled a little bit with that. And I feel stupid there are much bigger issues in the world and much bigger things people are struggling with. But as an introvert, it's been an adjustment for me to have people here all the time and not have that silence.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, I have had to adjust to that. Mm-hmm. But I think in our marriage, we've got to make sure that we're checking. And so sometimes it feels weird to come up and say, hey, are you doing okay today? Are you doing okay? Are you good? You not good? And if we're going to check in daily, maybe we don't come out and just say it. I know we were talking with one of our staff members, and she was saying, maybe you actually have a card or something you put on the counter that you say, that you put on the table, that one side says I'm okay and the other side says I'm not okay, and you flip it depending on where I am, and or you stick it on the refrigerator and say I'm not okay today, and you walk in, you see, oh, okay, well, let's talk about this. Or you have a code like, if I showered today I'm okay. Or,
I saw someone else, they said, I've got, we have shirts, and this is my not okay shirt. And if I'm wearing this shirt, you just have to know I'm in a bad place. Mm. You know, another thing, if you and your spouse typically have decent communication and you can, you know, check, then you just ask. But one thing we do in counseling sessions, when I have people come back and we've already had the initial assessment and we're in the counseling process, when they come back week after week, I'll just ask them simply on a scale of 1 to 10, where are you this week? Mm-hmm. And that gives us a good, you know, kind of barometer of where they are today.
Yeah.
And in relation to past days. So that may just be something to look at your spouse and say, hey, you know, how, scale of 1 to 10,
yeah,
where are you today? And then I think anything in the quarantine above 5 is, man, that's awesome. But if your spouse isn't okay, then just say, ask, how can I help? Or is there anything you need from me? Mm-hmm. I know in our house, because I work 8 hours, 9 hours a day, you carry the brunt of responsibilities for the household. Well, and the way we're set up during the quarantine is I come out to our motorhome that sits in our driveway, and mm-hmm. that's now become my office.
Yeah.
Because it's quiet. I put on a pot of coffee out here. I can get work done. I have good Wi-Fi reception out here. And then, but then you're inside with the kids while they're doing their homework. And so the other day I asked Bonnie, how are you? Are you okay? And you were struggling. Yeah. You're struggling because there was stuff that you needed to get done that you couldn't.
Yeah.
So Wednesdays is kind of my day right now during the quarantine that I don't have a lot of meetings or a lot of stuff that day. I didn't. So I just said, okay, tell you what, I'm going to work inside with the kids and help guide them, and you just take the motor home.
Oh, and it was the best day. It was so good. I got
a lot done. Did you take a nap?
I did not take a nap. I had too much to do.
Not that I do.
Oh, not that you do. Yeah, that would be really convenient. But no, I had so, I mean, there were things I have been putting off that I have not that I've been putting off, but I have not had 30 mm-hmm. minutes straight to do in 5 weeks. Yeah. So it was great. And it was a huge help. And you just saw that and you just offered it. And that was a big help. So that's one way we connect with our spouse, is the emotional connection.
Yep.
And then
keep your finger, we call it keeping your finger on the pulse. Mm-hmm. Just kind of keeping understanding where your spouse is mm-hmm. from day to day will be a huge help.
Yep. And the second way we connect is physically. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know we're in the same house, but sometimes we're just walking around each other. You're coming in and out to go to get your stuff done, or if different people are working in the home and they're trying to go to a certain room to do their work, and we can be in the same house all day and not even touch each other.
Well, because the house now is the workspace.
Right.
And everything happens within the same space. So all the normal things become mm-hmm. thrown in one big pot.
Well, I think that's an important thing to point out, is that because our home is now our workspace, and we had to learn to do this in our first house, is that because mm-hmm. we worked in our same space that we lived, we had to have a time we shut the door mm-hmm. so that we could say, I'm putting the work aside now. I'm not going back in that room that mm-hmm. is serving as an office. I'm done with that until morning, and now let's physically and emotionally connect. Mm-hmm. Let's separate. Let's make a physical barrier to work.
You know, outside of quarantine, we always encourage, hey, when you're at work, be 100% there. When you're home, be 100% there. And it's very difficult now in our society. We did a YouTube video about this a few weeks ago, to leave work at work, and because you have social media, and you've got cell phones, and you've got computers and laptops and all this kind of stuff. I think even more so now in the quarantine, mm-hmm. it's even more important to be able to segment off your life.
Yeah.
And be able to put office hours in rooms that you do certain things. So that when you know that door is shut, I am done, you can possibly do it.
Well, it works both ways. It helps protect you with your family. It helps protect your work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you've needed to come to the motorhome and work so that because you still work.
Mm-hmm.
And that has helped the kids say, oh, I can't, he's untouchable.
Yeah.
I can't just, you know, because it can be maddening to flip-flop between work, home. And I know a lot of you listening are having to do that. And
you don't have the ability to separate, especially if you're a mom that's working, that's
right.
having to do school as well.
But if it's possible, try to segment those things. And then make those physical barriers to say, when this door's shut, daddy's untouchable. Mm-hmm. And when the door's shut, I'm on the outside of this, work can't touch
me. Is it wrong to put the locks on the outside of the kids' doors to lock them in? Is that frowned upon? That is. I think that's frowned
upon. So there's that physical space we're talking about. But then when we are together, making sure we're physically connecting through touch. Mm-hmm. Just daily touching. And I mean, we're talking about
hugs and kisses. It comes down to simple hugs and kisses. And you guys do not forsake that. And let's talk about, we've talked about hugs here. Not just a short hug, but a long, like 1 minute hug.
An embrace.
An embrace that just kind of, the weight of the world sinks away. It's very important. But you know, another thing that I think we've gotten away from is non-sexual kissing.
Yeah.
I mean, you think back when you were dating, we would sit, you'd sit and you'd kiss for hours.
Yeah.
You would kiss and it
was your boundary. So
that's right.
That's what you
right,
did.
When we were younger. But I mean, but we've gotten away from that and mm-hmm. we've lumped kissing into sex and that kissing is a prelude to sex. And it doesn't need to be. It doesn't have to be.
All the time. It
doesn't need to be all the time.
Right.
When was the last time you and your spouse just kissed and it didn't lead to sex? And because physical touch is so important, it's such an important connection, do not forsake that. Now, don't forsake the sex either, but man, the non-sexual kissing is something that we've gotten away from that needs to happen.
Yeah. Well, and other things that are non-sexual touch, just like hand-holding, going mm-hmm. for a walk in your neighborhood and holding hands as you're walking,
mm-hmm.
or sitting close on the couch if you're binge-watching something and not sitting on the other side of the room from each other, and mm-hmm. spooning for a few minutes on the couch, or, you know, when you're watching TV, just lying there together and physically being connected. That's so important.
Mm-hmm.
This is it's part of that emotional connection. It's kind of hard to say, I just want to emotionally connect when you really need the physical connection as well. It's part of the emotional connection. Mm-hmm. It's all tied together.
The question is, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, and we're saying that, and you're like, oh gosh, no, I can't, mm-hmm. no, I'm not interested in that. I think the question needs to come up as to why.
Mm-hmm.
How have you gotten so far away from that? Because God created us as physical beings. We need physical touch. He created us sexual beings. How have you gotten so far away from it? And sometimes I get so far away from things because I just haven't done it in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't made myself do it in a long time. And so start that practice. I think make yourself. And guess what? If you don't need it, chances are your spouse does.
Yeah.
And if you're not engaging in that, then they're suffering.
And I know you're probably thinking, yes, but my children are at home. My kids are here all the time. We can't physically connect. You know, I think it's good for our kids, for them to see us connecting physically, touching.
Even
each
if
other.
They act like they're going to throw up.
I know. You hugged me this morning or yesterday, and Josie's like, oh,
yeah.
Oh. She made that sound because she walked in and you were hugging me. And I'm like, what?
But man, my parents, I remember my parents hugging, giving a kiss every once in a while. And when I was a teenager, I did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's so crisp. I look back now and I'm like, man, they had such a great, healthy mm-hmm. marriage. And
well,
it may not pay off for your kids now, but one day
well,
it will.
We're living in a weird world right now where nothing feels stable. Nothing feels safe for them. and what security it brings them for them to see you emotionally and physically connecting, to walk in and say, oh, mommy loves daddy. They're sitting close on the couch. I can't weasel my way in between them when they're hugging, and our kids are, it's like a magnet now for Colby. He'll try to come and get in between
us. He's at that age.
Yeah. And so it's so important for our kids to see that. It's a really good thing. So emotional connection and physical connection. And then the third thing I think we sometimes forget about because we feel like it's something personal, and that's spiritual connection.
And it is. It's a very personal. We all relate spiritually to the Lord differently.
Yeah.
I know my times with the Lord look much different than your times with the Lord, Bonnie. And we don't, we've never, and we tell couples this, everybody's different. Some couples, man, they love doing a Bible study together. Some couples, we've never done a Bible study together. But we always.
Maybe once or
maybe
twice.
Maybe once. Maybe. But we always talk about it, what God's doing. And I think that's important. How can we stay connected spiritually?
And it's that including our spouse in that journey by just letting them know that it's happening, for one thing. And I know Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And you ask me sometimes, so what did you study? What were you studying with? You know, I do a Bible study with a friend. You're like, what did you and Kim do? What are y'all studying right now?
Yeah.
And there's accountability in that, and it's a reminder that, okay, if I'm not growing in my walk, you're going to be asking me, and there's accountability there. But it helps me feel connected to you as well, because I know that you're also on that same spiritual journey. So there's something about praying together. There's something about that connection that happens when we pray together, that our hearts are connected with each other as they're connecting with the Lord. And so when we're asking each other and we're sharing, man, this is what God's doing in my heart, I feel connected to you because I know the relationship you have with the Lord is eternal. And I'm included in an eternal relationship with you, not just one for here on earth, but something that's forever. And just, you know, you telling me what you're studying, it's so encouraging to me to know that you're growing spiritually.
Yeah,
it encourages me, and I can trust you knowing you're on a journey with the Lord, you're walking with the Lord, then I can trust your heart towards him and towards me, because you're growing.
And I know there's a lot of guys, if you're a guy and you're listening to this, a lot of times we feel insecure. We know that we're supposed to be the spiritual leaders, but man, I'm going to be honest, I've been to seminary, and I think Bonnie knows more about the Lord and spiritual walk than I do. And so sometimes you're like, yeah, I don't know. She seems further along in her walk. That's not what being a spiritual leader doesn't mean that you have the most knowledge.
Mm-mm.
It means that I lead my family towards the Lord. I encourage them in their walk. And so when I ask her, man, what'd you learn in your Bible study? Or when she shares it and I have an open ear and an interest, that's encouraging her towards that.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a great question. One of the most healthy things we can do right now, guys, is stay connected with the Lord. Psalms 42:11 says, why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God.
Mm-hmm.
That's good stuff.
Man, that reminder of when we're not feeling healthy, the best place we can go is to the Lord. And scripture addresses it, says, why are you downcast? It's okay to be downcast, but then keep asking why. What is it in my soul that's needing repair, and how can I turn to the Lord for that? And then let's stay connected in that spiritually with each other.
Yeah, that's good. So here's our action steps today. I think number one, for emotional, establish a code for if you're okay or if you're not okay. Maybe that's the t-shirt, maybe that's the card on or the little whiteboard on the refrigerator, whatever that is. Have daily check-ins.
And then physically, try to get in one hug and one kiss a day. Start there. Just try to physically connect.
And then worship together online. Watch a church service together. Talk about it sometime that day, what God taught you. And this is a crazy season, and every single one of us are walking through this. So keeping a healthy marriage is tremendously important for you to make it through this. Well, thanks for joining us today. We've got so much that we have to learn from this time.
Man, we are each other's support system right now. Maybe each other's only support system because we're forced into that. So lean in, stay connected, and this is not just for today, but for our immediate future, however long we're connected in this quarantine, just stay connected. Y'all have a great week and keep enjoying your adventure.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast. Then head on over to Facebook and Instagram and give us a follow. Have a great week.